Hello, and welcome to today's Atlas Mara 2016 full year results investor call. Throughout this, all participants will be in listen-only mode, and afterwards, there'll be a question and answer session. Just to remind you, this call is being recorded. Today, I'm pleased to present Bob Dymond, Chairman, and Irene McDonald, CFO, and I'll now hand you over to Bob Dymond. Bob, please begin.
Thank you for that introduction. Thank you, everyone, for joining. This is Bob Dymond. I am the proud co-founder and chairman of Atlas Mara. I have been on every one of these earnings calls, but I've never been on as chairman and introducing the call, so I'm honored to be a part of this terrific board and even more honored to be chair. So this is our second full year of operations as Atlas Mara. This is our second full year of profitable operations. We have accomplished a ton in 2016, notwithstanding a very challenging environment and, quite frankly, a very difficult first quarter. But we have delivered strong profit, strong performance, excuse me. And that includes a profit for the year. It includes growth across most of our key financial metrics, and it includes an acquisition and integration of two more banks. Most importantly, we have streamlined the cost structure, and we have streamlined the management structure. We are now better equipped than ever to succeed in this environment and going forward. That is why I believe more than ever in this company and why I have just reinvested in Atlas Mara. So we're going to begin with Irene giving a financial review of 2016. Then I'm going to come back and tell you more about the changes that we have made and why we are truly positioned to win. Then, for the first time, you're going to hear from the leaders of the three key business lines and their thoughts about the prospects for 2017 and beyond. Sanjiv, Chidi, and Mike are an incredible team, and they will be driving the performance that will deliver the growth we need to achieve our vision and to increase our share price. I'll come back at the end to wrap up with some comments on our outlook for the year and going forward. And with that, I'm delighted to introduce our Chief Financial Officer, Irene McDonald, who's going to give you an update on 2016. Irene?
Thank you, Bob. Good day to everyone on our earnings call today. I'm delighted to share some high-level comments on the 2016 financial year results with all our investors. What I'd like to do is to run through some of the numbers at a high level and share some key messages and trends with you before we look forward to what 2017 could deliver. This time around, we have added an appendix with more detailed financial slides for your review. We can either come back to some of those detailed numbers at the end, at the Q&A session, or better still, I'd be happy to discuss questions on more detailed financial analysis with you in follow-up discussions after today's call. I would also want to mention that our full audited annual financial statements with full disclosure notes will be published today on our website, and you can find it at www.atlasmara.com. As we turn to slide five of the presentation, allow me to emphasize three key messages that Bob mentioned that I believe underpins our financial performance for 2016. One, we have delivered profits in a market that saw incredibly challenging macro conditions. Two, we have improved performance across most of our key financial metrics year-on-year. Three, we have increased the number of clients whom we bank, and we have started to meaningfully diversify the quality and thus the sources of our revenues. Slide five reports on some of these financial highlights. We reported net profit of $8.4 million for 2016. That represents a profit of $4.4 million for the last quarter, during which we benefited from some non-performing loan recoveries. Looking at our preferred measure of adjusted operating profit, which excludes M&A-related expenditure and specific one-off costs closely associated with our acquisition and restructuring activities, we delivered earnings of $20.8 million for 2016, down on the $24.9 million reported for 2015, which represents a 2.8% increase on a constant currency basis. We also saw healthy growth in revenues, up nearly 32%, and in loans and advances, an increase of  9.8% to $1.3 billion at year-end, both on a constant currency basis of reporting. The two acquisitions that we have closed during the year in Zambia and Rwanda clearly supported these growth trends, which is all part of our strategy of achieving scale in the markets we operate within. Finally, there has been a decline in our reported equity, to $526 million from $625 million reported in 2015. This is mainly due to the decline in the value of our investment in UVN during 2016. Further local currency weakness year on year has also negatively impacted our book value when measured in US dollar terms, which is our reporting currency. We closed the year at a book value per share of $7.29 compared to $8.49 per share at 2015. Let us turn to slide 6 and allow ourselves a moment of crystal ball glazing. As mentioned, 2015 and 2016 were really tough economic years, no matter what metric. The global economy has let the global consumer down, and Africa has not been spared. However, reading early signs around more stable currencies, improving commodity prices, lower inflationary environments, and the reduction in local interest rates in the markets we operate within, we are cautiously optimistic that 2017 might start to see the economic headwinds changing. Not yet to the levels seen in 2013 and 2014 as depicted on those graphs, but growth rates are definitely directionally more positive. Slide 7 reports our adjusted operating profit. The purpose of this slide is to provide some of the context behind our operating numbers, and we are pleased with the overall performance on this basis that we believe best reflects our longer-term sustainable profit levels. The M&A transaction expenses are costs incurred in closing the two acquisitions that we have made in Rwanda and Zambia this year. The one-off restructuring costs we incurred in merging these banking operations into our existing businesses, from management systems to the physical locations where we work, we have fully expensed the total cost of integration, and that has laid the platform for growth into 2017. There are also some costs included in the restructuring of the shared services and center team as we closed down the Johannesburg office as part of the efforts to simplify and delayer our structure and thus reduce costs in the center. I've copied for reference on slides 8 and 9 the 2016 IFRS income statement and balance sheet. The income statement shows the rather uneven quarterly results trend of 2016 that also reflects the jagged economic environment we had to navigate during the year. Although we believe that 2017 will see more calmer waters, we expect again the second half of 2017 to be materially more profitable than the first half. This is because of many of the cost-saving initiatives that we have shared with the market recently that were put in place during the first quarter of 2017, that the benefit of those actions will only start coming through in the quarters to follow. It will be amiss of me not to make a few comments on the cost line. Total costs were at $234.8 million, which compares with $194.2 million reported in 2015. Excluding the additional cost contributions from our acquisitions in Rwanda and Zambia that increased our cost base by $32 million and $20 million respectively, and ignoring the translation FX impact of currency movements, our cost growth was limited to about 5%, well below the inflation rate in many of our operating markets. Our cost-to-income ratio is not where we want it to be, remembering that the two acquisitions we made had very high cost-to-income ratios on a standalone basis. Post all the restructuring and repositioning that we've done during 2016 and in the first quarter of 2017, we have confidence that our cost-to-income ratio will markedly improve during 2017. But going back to those key messages I mentioned up front, we have delivered profits and our key metrics are improving. To illustrate the latter point, turn to slide 10 and pause for a moment on these two key metrics. It is worth it to note that the cost of funds trend has been one of continuous improvement over the past 2 years, with a direct positive impact on margins. This improvement also speaks to a better mix on the balance sheet, with a focus in growing our retail deposit book, up 10% year on year, excluding the impact of our acquisitions. Retail now comprises 30% of our total deposits on balance sheet. This positive momentum was seen amidst some tight market-wide liquidity, specifically in Tanzania, Mozambique, and Zambia, and despite an increase in competition, as most banks compete for these better-priced retail deposits. We are firm of our view that there is much more room for improvement in the cost of funding across all of our businesses, which remains a key focus to drive profitability in 2017 and beyond. Slide 11 shows another improving trend, namely the quality of our assets, visible through the reduction of the non-performing loan book. Our consolidated NPL ratios have improved slightly year on year to end at 13.3%, still higher than where we aim for it to be. However, excluding a handful of large single name exposures in Zambia and Zimbabwe, all of which are well underway of being restructured and resolved, this ratio falls to just below 10%. The credit loss ratio of 1.2% compared to 2015 at 1% is well within our risk appetite and we believe an acceptable credit cost for the risk-reward doctrine that applies to banking in sub-Saharan Africa. Slide 12 shows some of the diversification in both product, sector and geography that I've mentioned earlier, a key focus for management to diversify the sources and quality of revenue. Added to this, the markets and fintech business growth area, which we will share with you in a bit more detail shortly, it all underpins a more diversified portfolio and thus better quality, sustainable earnings delivery. Slide 13 shows another improving trend, namely around our banking operations capital adequacy levels. We remain well capitalized and fully compliant with all country-specific regulatory and liquid asset ratio requirements. Finally, let's face to slide 14 for a few comments on UBN. Our asset reported as investment in associate Union Bank of Nigeria has also had a really good year. UBN's management team has delivered a commendable, profitable performance in arguably some of the toughest economic times Nigeria has ever seen. You may have seen that UBN also reported their 2016 earnings on the Nigerian Stock Exchange today, a summary of which is provided for ease of reference on slide 14. Atlas Mora has included our 31.15% share based on UBN's earnings in our reported audited accounts as income from associate investments of $18 million for 2016 compared with a profit of $20 million in the prior year. We are proud to be associated with UBN as an organization and we value their contribution to our earnings. And with that, Bob, let me hand back to you.
Thank you, Arena. So I'm now on slide 16. As mentioned, we took a really thoughtful approach to reshaping the management team. We concluded that the business was really driven by three key lines: retail and commercial banking, fintech and digital, and markets and treasury. And so, quite simply, we organized the management layer around those three key pillars. The heads of each of those businesses reports directly to me as chairman of the board. At the same time, we have significantly strengthened the country teams. It's a lighter management layer. And so the bottom line of this new structure is we are leaner. It allows us execution across and within the three pillars of our business: retail and commercial banking, fintech and digital, and markets and treasury. We are more in line with our position as an African regional champion. It puts us closer to our clients. That's critical. And most importantly, it lets us respond more quickly to changes in the market and to opportunities in the market. So move now to slide 17 and how we've delivered. Let me just recap what Arena and I have been talking about in terms of 2016. We all know it was a tough environment. We all know we had a tough start to 2016 with a difficult Q1. But we've delivered solid financial results. We have growth across the board, and we have acquired, we have received regulatory approval, we have closed and integrated banks in Rwanda and Zambia. We have always said we need to achieve scale in all of our markets. This is proof that we're doing exactly that. So we're done. That's 2016. That's behind. That's done. Now let's talk about 2017 and going forward. When I was asked to become chair during the fourth quarter, it was important to me that we begin immediately in November and December to streamline both our cost structure and our management team. And so we already have reduced costs a ton, but we have also done an equity round to support our markets and fintech businesses, and those are moving very quickly and will be a big part of our financial results going forward. So the three key business heads, Sanjeev, Kitty, and Mike, will talk about their business approach and how they're going forward. Sanjeev came to us a few years ago after a great career at Citibank, having led one of Rwanda's most important banks, and last year focused on the integration of BPR and the Development Bank of Rwanda, which was a very successful integration. Chidi's career before joining Atlas Mara was with mobile money at Airtel and in retail and commercial banking before that. And Mike, who heads markets and treasury, has been building that business for 2 years after a career at Rand Merchant Bank before joining me at Barclays many years ago and helping me build the markets and treasury business there. So it's my pleasure to introduce Sanjeev, Chidi, and Mike. Sanjeev, will you kick it off?
Thank you, Bob. I must say I'm very excited to take leadership of our retail and commercial banking operations. Having been involved in banking in sub-Saharan Africa for over 15 years, I feel that we are at the dawn of an exciting and vibrant period for the financial services market in Africa. There is growth in emerging regional economies, there's a growing middle class, expanding corporate sector, and an evolving regulatory environment in Africa. In this environment, our banking franchise is well positioned for growth, given our multi-country footprint, the excellent talent base that we have across our various banks, and the ability to work across centers of excellence in line with the decentralized management structure that Bob just announced. Let me turn to operational highlights for 2016, where we have seen significant progress in milestone transactions. As you will see, this is a rather busy slide, and I think that's a healthy indicator because it indicates the large number of transactions. Let me highlight a few. In Botswana, we launched a new mobile banking app with 26,000 plus registered customers. We set up a co-brand partnership with Orange Money. We improved our cost-to-income ratio from 70% to 58%. And just after year-end, we were notified that we were successful in our tender to provide a prepaid card service to the government for its disbursement for the next 5 years. In Mozambique, we had a new CEO and a new CFO, and thereby a completely revamped management team. We launched transactional banking online platform for pension collections. We had a 42% growth year-on-year in our markets and treasury revenues, driven primarily by customer volumes. In Rwanda, we completed the integration of BRD Commercial Bank and BPR, making us the second largest player in the market by balance sheet size. Our new brand in Rwanda, BPR, part of Atlas Mara, was launched by His Excellency President Kagame at the World Economic Forum in Africa last year in May. We completed a staff refit exercise, which resulted in a reduction of our headcount by approximately 25%, which allowed us to realign our cost-to-income ratio and also implement our new target operating model. We launched several digital products, which included mobile application and online bill payment service for water, sewage, and power utilities, amongst others. In Tanzania, we won the Visa e-commerce activation award for being the number one bank in online Visa. We launched a digital deposit campaign, resulting in a sevenfold increase in active website users. We renegotiated and restructured several key non-performing loans. In Zambia, we completed the integration of Finance Bank, FBZ, with Bank ABC, thereby putting us amongst the top five in the industry. We signed a $40 million prepaid card farmers input support program, and we issued more than 200,000, approximately 210,000 prepaid cards. To support our SME business, we signed a $30 million deal with the Development Bank of Zambia and China Development Bank Corporation. In Zimbabwe, we reduced the cost of funding by repricing time deposits and adjusting our deposit mix. We reduced our NPLs by disposing of some key NPLs through state-controlled debt agencies. In response to a shift towards plastic money, which was necessitated because of a paucity of dollar liquidity, we quickly rolled out POS machines, point-of-sale machines, that within 3 months, we had registered over 50 registered merchants and deployed 200 terminals across the country. As we look forward towards 2017, I am very excited by the strategy we will roll out for our various banks. Our vision is to make each of our franchise franchises into a universal bank and leverage our regional footprint, innovation capabilities, and most importantly, our long-standing customer relationships. In Botswana, currently our business is concentrated mainly in retail. We have a huge opportunity to roll out corporate banking business as well as to expand transactional banking. In Zambia, we have an amazing opportunity to expand rapidly given the synergies between ABC's retail bank and finance bank, FBZ's corporate business. In both Zambia and Botswana, we have deep public sector relationships and we see huge opportunities in lending, transactional banking and digital. In Zimbabwe, Rwanda and Zambia, we see a tremendous opportunity for pre- and post-harvest agricultural banking. Agriculture is typically 35 to 40% of the GDP in the markets that we operate, and there's a lot of focus on that, and we are very happy to be associated with this important segment. In all our markets, we are mostly at the low end of retail, and we see opportunities to tap into the entire retail chain by introducing more competitive products, including new products such as vehicle loans and cards. In the home loan space, we are still relatively small, and we see enormous room for expansion. We will continue to roll out transactional banking products as well as point of sale and agency banking across our markets to improve access to low-cost deposits. We have a good presence in two regional blocks. These are two of the important regional blocks in sub-Saharan Africa, which is SADC and EAC. This provides us a solid platform to grow our corporate banking business using the regional platforms. To ensure that we capture opportunities in sunrise sectors or sunrise industries such as power and energy, telecoms, infrastructure, mining, we are acquiring subject matter experts with expertise in each of these industries to give us industry specialization. As commodity prices firm up, we will selectively pursue commodity finance opportunities across our markets. In Rwanda, we are creating a strong center of excellence in fintech, and we hope to replicate this across various markets using Rwanda as our base. We believe that we have a unique advantage in fintech and digital because of our excellent corporate and public sector relationships. Let me share a word regarding long-term funding. With our ability to tap entities such as OPIC, Africa Development Fund, European Investment Bank, amongst other development finance institutions, we have developed significant support for our long-term funding at our banks, and these have positioned us to provide finance to our SME business clients. We are also supporting trade finance for our mid-tier clients, and this is going to become an increasing part of our business offering. With our new decentralized organizations, our countries will be empowered to capture opportunities I have highlighted above. We'll be able to respond quicker with innovative products and solutions and therefore offer better service to our customers. Our country teams, and I'm proud of this, are excellent, and we will further continue to train and groom them. We are incredibly excited by these opportunities, and I sincerely look forward to reporting back to you further progress in 2017. With these remarks, I would like to hand over to my colleague Chidi, who will take us through the highlights of some of the excitement in our fintech and digital business. Chidi, over to you.
Thank you, Sanjay. 2016 was hallmarked by the approval of a three-year group digital financial services strategy by the board. At the core of this strategy is the aspiration to leverage true partnerships, the strengths, capabilities, and attributes of the banking, retail, telecommunications, and fintech industries, thus positioning to become hybrid, different, and disruptive. This strategy is anchored on both transformational and reinventional initiatives. Our transformational initiatives are those that seek to transform and position our traditional banks for the emerging digital financial services landscape with the objective of efficiently expanding our reach, customer base, and segments while maximizing revenues. Our reinventional initiatives are those that seek to invent new business models on a standalone basis in collaboration with telecommunications companies, fintech firms, and retailers. The primary objective is to aggressively drive for scale, speedily, and efficiently. As you would expect, we're incredibly excited about reinvention initiatives, not only because of the commercial benefits, but they have positioned us at the forefront of the evolving digital financial services landscape in Africa. The implementation kicked off in Q3, and some of the key outcomes during the year are as follows. Our merchant acquiring project has commenced in Zimbabwe, Mozambique, and Zambia. And at the end of the year, over 500 merchants were acquired across all the countries. Our agency banking project has also commenced and should go live in Tanzania as pilot. Very importantly, we entered strategic partnership agreements with Visa and MasterCard to advance our payments businesses. Over $25 million is targeted investments over the next 5 years. Now, this is already paying off as we recently secured the payments card, a card-based payments mandate from the government of Botswana for disbursement of over $500 million over the next 5 years. We also secured issuance and acquiring licenses from China UnionPay International to support the increasing participation of the Chinese in African trade and tourism. This will help us track and track a significant chunk of the over $15 billion in annual Chinese tourist spend in Africa. And I'll take you to slide 22. In this year, 2017, our focus will be to complete all in-flight initiatives. The merchant acquiring project that I talked about will now be deployed in Botswana, Tanzania, and Rwanda. Whereas the agency banking project will be completed in Tanzania in April, the rest of the countries will follow very shortly. In partnership with MasterCard RoomSend, a Pan-African cross-border funds transfer service project has commenced and will be rolled out in phases during the course of the year. On the reinvention initiatives, we have advanced stages to fully launch the following initiatives. Mobile-based lending with strategic telecoms partners in Kenya, Tanzania, and Mozambique. This presents an opportunity to lend to over 6 million mobile money customers and over 170,000 mobile money agents and merchants across these three countries. A payments wallet partnership with a large Pan-African retailer will be starting in Botswana during the course of the year as well. We expect over 5 million customers to be acquired across the five target countries over the next 2 years. And finally, our companion plastic and virtual card project has also kicked off in Zimbabwe and Tanzania. And this will also help us to issue these cards to over 8.5 million customers, mobile money customers of the telecoms partners in both countries. And now let me hand you over to my colleague, Mike Christovich.
Thanks, Judy. As a business owner, I often get asked what it is that we as markets and treasury do in the bank to generate our revenue. Within the treasury component of the business, we manage the net balance sheet. We ensure that the bank is adequately funded, while at the same time we invest the excess liquidity of the bank. In the markets area, we deal with corporate and institutional clients and assist them to hedge their foreign exchange and interest rate exposures. 2016 was an exciting year for the markets and treasury business. For me, I think the most exciting thing, other than the obvious revenue growth, was the growth in client numbers and trade volumes, as evidenced on slide 24. The quality of the revenue was strong and a lot more diversified than in 2015, with diversification coming through in both the country and client contributions. This helped to reduce the reliance on individual clients and countries. We have a very vanilla business, with the majority of our revenue being driven by spot foreign exchange. This contributes to high return, low risk business, which still has ample room for growth. Our client diversification also assisted in bringing down the cost of funding in our business as a whole. Through the year, the team continued to work on improving the quality of our liability book, on extending the term nature of our funding, and at the same time focusing on lowering the overall cost of our liability books. All of this happened in an improved control environment, which will only be further enhanced as we roll out a fully-fledged treasury management system in 2017. What I'm also personally happy about is the time we've taken to invest in our people. In 2016, we trained over 600 staff throughout the region on markets, products, and sales skills. I personally believe an investment in people is never wasted. Looking forward to 2017, and I'm now on slide 25, our aim is to, in our current footprint, to grow our existing client base still further. As a group, we generally still have a small market share relative to our competitors in the countries within which we operate. We will continue to implement the same sales disciplines and focus on our clients, both existing and potential new clients, with the aim to grow our share of wallet through growing the client base. As highlighted at the bottom of slide 25, in some of those news headlines, the global financial environment continues to change. Regulatory changes are limiting the involvement of the bigger global banks in the sub-Saharan African environment. Quite simply put, they are no longer serving the breadth of clients they did before and definitely are neglecting the smaller country and regional clients. We believe that this creates an opportunity for regional banks And Atlas Mara, as a regional sub-Saharan African banking group, has the ability to service these clients, assist them with their regional aspirations, and help smaller clients become big clients over time. In order to facilitate this, we are in the process of building out an offshore treasury capacity in Dubai, linking the offshore clients to the local market, thereby enabling us to take advantage of this opportunity. This will help us to grow the client base of the group overall, generate increased flow for all our businesses, and help to position Atlas Mara as a strong regional market participant. That's all I have for now, as I hand back to Bob to conclude the presentation.
Thank you, Mike. Also, thank you, Sanjeev, and thank you, Chidi. Very, very strong presentations. It's great to be on the team with you. So why am I so positive? Our share price is low, and yet I'm positive. Well, let me tell you the reasons. The three biggest reasons are 2016, challenging year because of the macro environment, challenging year because of the difficult first quarter. We delivered a second consecutive profitable year, growth in virtually all of our financial metrics, closing and operating two significant deals in Zambia and Rwanda. The second reason is because our vision is intact. The vision that Ashish and I announced when we did our first and closed our first acquisition less than 3 years ago is very much intact. We aim to be the leading, the premier financial services firm in sub-Saharan Africa. Three, and even more importantly, we have already in the first quarter implemented streamlined costs and streamlined management team. Sanjeev, Chidi, and Mike are already operating together and within their key business units. So for 2017, the theme is clear: execution, execution, execution. I said in my statement that we expect a doubling of profits in 2017. Why am I that confident? Well, if you take 2016 earnings, $8.4 million, and we can do that in 2017, and do nothing more than just deliver to the bottom line the $20 million in cost savings that I've already committed to, we're almost at 40 cents a share from 12 cents a share. So yes, I am optimistic. And our shares are too low. We all agree with that. But we had an oversubscribed equity deal in the first quarter. It was all invested by existing shareholders. We have seen a number of cleanup trades to take the overhang out of the markets over the last couple of weeks. And the best thing we can do for the share price going forward is execution, execution, execution. If we execute on this plan, we hit 40 to 50 cents per share in 2017 and grow from there, then I can assure you the share price is not going to remain at 215. So with that, thank you very much for having a patience. We had a lot to talk about today. We're very encouraged on 2017 and beyond. We're very, very focused and committed to delivering on our promises, and we're happy to open it up for questions now.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, could you please press 0 and then 1 on your phone keypad now in order to enter the queue, and then after I announce you, simply ask that question. And if you find that question has been answered before it's your turn to speak, just press 0 and then 2 to cancel. And there'll be a brief pause while questions are being registered. Once again, it's 0 and then 1 in order to ask a question. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please could you press 0 and then 1 on your phone keypad now. And there'll be a further pause while any questions are being registered. Okay, as there currently are no questions, could I please pass it back to you for any closing comments?
So, three final comments. Execution, execution, execution. Thank you very much for joining.
This now concludes our call. Thank you all very much for attending, and you can now disconnect.